I think the coolest thing about praying to God is you feel like this is such a powerful and huge, you know, powerful God, and he's willing to come down to you, sitting right next to you, listening to complain all the things happening in your life, and you can cry to him, you can love with him, and just make me feel, you know, I'm really, really special. And it's just how amazing, like, how much he loves me, he cares about me, just me as who I am, an individual, not because, you know, how powerful I am, not because how much money I have, not because how beautiful I am, you know, just who I am as who I am, he cares about me. And I think it's just such a precious thing to me in my life after I become a Christian.
Is that not the sweetest video you'll ever watch? Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And to take your outline out today, Ephesians chapter 2 and your outline. Well, life is filled with a lot of firsts. You have your first ball glove, as I can remember mine very well. Your first doll, maybe, for some of you gals here. Your first day of school, or that last day, the first day of summer, last day of school when you're a kid, look forward to summer. A first Christmas, married. How many remember your first real, genuine, honest paycheck? Let me see your hand. Well, that had a great moment. Come on, don't you remember that first paycheck? Oh, loved it. Man, I was 6 years old. Came out of the coal mines. It was awesome. But just kidding. But I've had a lot of firsts recently. I've had my first few Sundays here at Central. I've had my first staff meetings, my first tornado siren. Had my first Wednesday night prayer time, and I look forward to this Wednesday night being with primarily the seniors here as we pray together, and I look forward to sharing the word with you. My first life community that I didn't quite get and understand it would be a podcast, and so don't any of you listen to it, just blow it off. Thanks, Pastor Mike, for that. I've had my first back-to-back 11-day periods with just a little bit in between, and now another 11 days without my wife, Carla. And could I hear a collective ah? Come on. Thank you. Pray for me. It's been hard the second time. Did I mention my first tornado siren? Did I mention that, my first? But I made a lot of discoveries. There's a little lady in this church named Della, and Della makes pies. It makes me think of that Seinfeld episode when Elaine is going, Stella. Now I want to cry out, Della, to get those pies. I'm telling you, she can make pies. I've learned that Tom and Dar and Sharon and Jackie and Carissa can all cook. I'm talking people around Central know how to cook, and I needed that. You can tell I haven't done a lot myself. I've been at their homes. I've discovered what I guess I would call connections, and not in the sense of the catalog that really has a lot to do with today and the celebration Sunday, but the catalog that, or rather the experience here at Central that somehow, in some way, every single person in this church is somehow related to somebody in the Assemblies of God in the world. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's scary. It makes you paranoid. You don't say anything about anybody in any setting. You just smile and act like you love everybody in this church, because it's going to come back on you, let me tell you. I think it's a thesis paper someone needs to write of the inbreeding within the Assemblies of God, but we'll move on. Frightening. Just south of us is a state, and we'll just move on. Won't say another word. Oh, I'm just kidding. Oh, that's terrible. That wasn't even in my notes. That was not here. But seriously, I've made a discovery this morning that I love. I've made a discovery in about 3.5 weeks that is so exciting to me that it stokes me as a pastor. And it can do it on a daily, even on an hourly basis. And it's what we're going to talk about this morning. And that means a lot that a lot of people here get what we're going to talk about. That people here have caught Ephesians 2 and a specific verse that we're going to primarily focus on and then later look at our collective prayer. But if you have your Bibles open there, look at verse number 4. And basically, as we open up Ephesians 2, the first three verses let us know that we do not have a great spiritual pedigree, all right? That every one of us here, we are in sin. We are dead in sin before we come into relationship with Christ. That if anything, it says that we are following after Satan. Literally, before we come to Christ, we are a follower of the prince of the air, the Bible says. And so we don't have a great thing to look back on, but then we come to verse 4, and there's that little conjunction that is always so important in Scripture. Say it with me. But, say it with me again. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. And then say it with me. It is by grace you have been saved. And didn't you note that with little Kara's son, as she's about a year old in the Lord, and you just sense the joy in her in that video and what God is doing in her life and how exciting that was. Paul then repeats in the next verse what he opens the book up with in chapter 1. Now, this is a picture. It's quite a picture for us, but it's not just a picture. It is a reality today. Verse 6, and not only are we saved by grace, but it says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Wow. We have gone from being dead in sin to being made alive in Christ, to being seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, to now something that none of us understand fully, but something to do with not single age, plural, in the ages yet to come. That God has incredible things that he is going to show in the ages to come, how rich his mercy is toward us. And to many it ends right there. We're seated and we're waiting. It's almost like those that sit at Cape Canaveral and the weather pattern is not quite right and they just say, hang on, guys, we'll get this rocket off in a little bit, but we're just going to have to kind of sit. That's where a lot of people are, as they sit seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But if that's what you think today, then you haven't read the rest of the context. Because verse number 5, he says, for it is by grace that you've been saved. And then verse number 8, he repeats it, for it is by grace that you've been saved. Through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Say that word with me, the gift of God. Don't you love gifts? But is there any greater gift than what we're reading about here? The gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For, preposition for, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I caught a little bit of this in Kara, if you saw that on the video, but there was a little bit of that understanding that she knows she is made by God. And it doesn't matter how wealthy she is, doesn't matter her appearance or anything. She said, I just realize that God loves me and that he made me just the way I am and that I please him. And you could sense that joy in that smile, really, of that she is the workmanship of God. The front of your bulletin has the prayer that I'm going to ask you to pray every day this week. Psalm 138, verse 8. And we're going to come to that at the close here. But I want you to know that it all surrounds today, and the theme that I want to talk about today is purpose. When you're bored and some of the leadership were checking me out, I was beginning to check you out. And I went on the website, and I remember the very first thing that my eyes fell on that I was impressed with and I loved, and it was simply this statement. Our purpose at Central Assembly is to be a church connecting people to God, to others, and to their purpose in life. A church that understands and wants others to know that it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And it's not of yourself. It is a gift of God. And so to connect them to God, which in turn connects you to others. And much of what today is in the lobby, those tables and the celebration Sunday is for us to connect not only to God, but to connect with others. But then I'm thankful that it didn't end there. But it was also to connect others to their purpose in life. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. C.S. Lewis is quoted as saying one time, the more that we let God take us over, the more truly ourselves we become. It's an interesting view of it. The more that we allow God to take us over, the more truly ourselves we become, because he made us, he invented us. He invented all the different people that you and I were intended to be. It is when I turn to Christ, when I give up myself to his personality, that I first begin to have a real personality of my own. That's a beautiful statement. Ephesians 2:10 is what he's talking about there. That we are the craftsmanship, the workmanship of God, created in Jesus Christ. And when we come into relationship with God, that is how we truly find out who we really are. How sad it is to think that you could live your entire life on this earth, be blessed with decades of life, and in that life, having never really discovered the God who made you and the purpose then of why and how he crafted you to make you what you are. But how awesome, conversely, it is to know God, to have a relationship with Jesus, and in knowing him, to discover what he made us to be, how he created us and crafted us. And that is what C.S. Lewis here was capturing, I think, for us. And it brings us to that little thought of purpose. I want to define purpose today, a simple definition. You can find a better one, but this is just my little homemade, homespun definition for the message this morning. And I appreciate that we know here, many people here know what their purpose is, but I know a lot of people don't. And I pray by the Spirit of God today, you'll leave here and you'll leave here a different person. As we look at the simple definition, look at it in your outline, if you will. First of all, our purpose, it is a God-inspired passion. A God-inspired passion. Why? Because it all starts with God. Once we begin in our journey with God, our relationship with God, something exciting begins. Now, not everybody catches this. There are a lot of people that get seated in heavenly places. There are a lot of people that are saved by grace through faith. There are a lot of people that come into a relationship with God, but then they never fully come into their purpose. And that, for me as a pastor, is absolutely heartbreaking. And I appreciate then the idea that as a church and as a staff, and I want you to join us with that. And I don't know how many years old that purpose statement is, but we want people to connect with God. We want people to connect with others, but we want people to connect with their individual purpose. Amen? Tonight we're going to talk about this. Matter of fact, some of you that are parenting and have marriages, young marriages, I'd really encourage you to be here tonight, because we're going to talk about a great man in Scripture, Nehemiah, and launch the series tonight for the summer. It's a great book on teamwork and leadership and some incredible things, but one of the keys to Nehemiah is purpose. You find a man that captured a purpose, his purpose, and it then was translated into an entire nation of Israel. But see, twice in Nehemiah, chapter 2 and chapter 7, we read this phrase. Nehemiah says, God put it in my heart to do the following. Nehemiah was a man of purpose. That's why he was a great man. It wasn't the man. It was the God that placed something into his heart. And all of us here that have been used by God in any way in your life, you realize it's not about you. It's always about God. But you realize as you come into your given individual purpose, it is something that God places within your heart. As it says in Ecclesiastes, he has placed eternity in the hearts of men. And that's what God does. Because his children are his workmanship. That's one reason if you haven't been through them or you're new to Central, you need to go through the 101, 201, 301, the pathway in those classes. 101, you hear about our vision, you hear about what we believe in, you hear about the basic direction of Central. Class 201, you discover then four key core values of discovering how to grow in your relationship with God and with this church and in ministry. And then we come to 301, and in 301, you discover your gifting and your talents and what God, the craftsmanship that he has placed in your life to make you who you are so you do what he wants you to do. And then all three levels really lead you to that purpose. And then 401 is if you want to step further into leadership. But see, I was sitting in with a group of pastors some time ago, and I heard a missionary from South Africa speaking, and he asked a question that I had heard before. But that day, the question really struck me in a different way. He asked the question, if your church was gone tomorrow, would it be missed? And I parenthetically add there, and by whom would it be missed? Because I think that matters. But see, two thoughts come to mind. One is that we are the church, not this building. It's true of every congregation all across America, around the world. We know, doesn't matter where we're meeting, what the setting is, how many. The bottom line is we are his church. But the question, I think, is begging us to look at who we are and where we're located. And so at 1301 Boonville Avenue, why are we here? And if we no longer existed, see, and it bears to mind, I think, three things in answering that question. One is placement. Is that we are placed here in Boonville Avenue, next to headquarters. And many people say, well, the reason we're here is because 100 years ago, as Pentecost was just beginning, God raised up in this congregation. And I would say that is fine. But how many of you know God is more concerned about year 2010 right now than he was year 1910? And so as he looks at today to say, if we were no longer to exist, What difference would it make to anyone? It makes us think of placement. It makes us think of proximity. What we're near, who we're near. Matter of fact, this morning as I drove in, I had a little bit of extra time, and I've done a little bit of this, but I went ahead, and I just drove for about 10 minutes, and I went up and down streets, and I found multiple churches all just right over in this area, and as I was, well, I really don't know where I'm in this building yet, but anyway, somewhere around here I was. I'm going to learn that. Somebody point north right now. Help me out. Give me my bearings. That's north. Oh, you can't be right. No. Well, you're pointing every different direction. Now, come on here. Okay, that's north. Oh, Melissa, I can trust you. Not Steve, but I can trust you, Melissa. Thank you. Just kidding. But I drove up and down realizing this is our mission field. This is our Jerusalem, see. If we look at our Jerusalem to be Africa, no. Our Jerusalem is right here. And then our Judea and our Samaria and our uttermost parts of the earth that we're to be reaching. But how many of you know there's going to give an account for how we did with our Jerusalem? And I drove up and down the streets of Jerusalem this morning. And I realized what God is asking of our proximity. And then, of course, it obviously leads us to our purpose then. And as I look at that question, if your church was gone tomorrow, would it be missed? The real question obviously can't be the buildings. And yet I think in proximity it is, and in location it certainly is, and placement. But it's really that for you and I, all of us here today. See, I've been in London. I have sat in empty cathedrals. I've gone in places in Europe, and your heart breaks knowing that John Knox and John Wesley and Whitfield and others stood, and masses of people heard them preach, and now the sound just echoes, and you can tell they are just paying their money to keep up the edifice, and how heartbreaking it is. And many of those very cathedrals right next door, very close, is a mosque. And I mean, the Muslims are coming in and out of that mosque on an hourly basis throughout the day, and there sits the Christian church building with very few believers there. And many would say in that neighborhood, I'm sure, well, the decor, the architecture, oh, we'd miss it if that building wasn't there. But how many of you know they're not missing a building if the building was gone? They're missing the church. They're missing what makes it go. So I guess the question tomorrow would be this. Why has God placed these buildings at 1301 North? No. The question would be this week, why has God placed me, each of us, at 1301 Boonville Avenue? That's the question. See, purpose is a God-inspired passion that makes us, or rather takes us, beyond ourselves. When C.S. Lewis describes this, coming into a true awareness of who we are, I'm sure, knowing his writings, I know that he didn't mean it ends there. Lewis was talking about that being the beginning, the formation of something that in turn brings you into something much greater. For we are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which he prepared in advance for us to do. Follow me. When it comes to the purpose of God in your life, first and foremost, he wants you to know him. He wants your sins to be forgiven. He gave his son. He has done everything he could do. That is first and foremost, but it does not end there. For preposition, we are the workmanship of God. He crafts you. He forms you in his son Jesus so that you will go out and do the things that he has called and wants you to do. Matter of fact, things that he preordained and destined you to do. It's always, hear me, not just about you. It's always about you and who else he wants to touch through you. Third thing here is this. Purpose is a God-inspired passion that takes us beyond ourselves then to be a blessing to others. And as Sharon said, Jeff, now is a good time. Come out. And I came out from my desk, and it was about 4:55 p.m. Thursday afternoon, and I stood here in the lobby. And as I looked out there, they were already lined up all the way out the door. I don't know how long that line went. And it was so well organized, and the chairs were all in place, and the tables were along the wall here, and everyone was there, and the food was already bagged and prepped. And I'll tell you what, you want to make somebody just feel good. Just watch what happens. The people come in every other Thursday and they get their little ticket, and then as they go to the table, I could sense there was relationship with some of the people and others that were brand new. And I saw one lady, have you been here before? No, I haven't. She shook his head, but you could tell she was so glad to come and receive the food from this church. What a blessing, Central Assembly. And it was so well handled by Dar and by their team. That's what God wants. The good works that we're to do is that we get beyond ourselves and we be a blessing to others. And it's always, hear me, it's always for God's glory alone. His glory alone. And so I spent a few phone calls this week. And hear me, if you already say, well, I already know that story, but I don't. So so bear with me a little bit. Indulge me as a new pastor. It was awesome to sit on the phone with a few people and hear their story this week. And it all started with a big slab of ribs. Because just a couple Fridays ago, Kirk Watson and a group of guys were over at the Royal Ranger building. Some of you don't even know we own, but across the street there on Boonville is a Royal Ranger building. And a man outside of our church has given tens of thousands of dollars and blessed us so that we could begin to make renovations there. And Kirk just walked me through the building. And as he was talking about the vision, not only for our boys, but it went so beyond just the boys of Central. It went into the community and the schools around us. And I'm walking back with that slab of ribs. I kind of felt like Fred Flintstone. How many know what I'm talking about? The thing was huge, you know, and I sat at my desk with Carter and said, man, dig into this with me. It was just huge. But you know what? I walked across the street not just with a slab of ribs. I walked across the street with a heart that was so excited because I knew one man in this church has caught it. He understands Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Oh, but he didn't end there. Verse 10 as well. He told me about in 07 as a friend contacted him, and then you as a church were part of celebrating at Boyd Elementary where every child in that school received a new bicycle and helmet. How many of you remember your first bike? I mean, come on. That's huge. And how excited Kirk was. And then to follow up a Pinewood Derby where 180 boys and their families received the cars to work on. I still have my scar right here when I was a Royal Ranger and I was alert and clean and honest, but I wasn't very alert with a knife in third grade. Let me tell you, Denison, Texas, First Assembly. But he was so excited about those 180 boys. And then to hear Pastor Jim on YouTube tell the story of how that probably was a single moment in Central's history to have the most people that are outside of Central, non-churched or non-Central people walk through the doors. It was at a Pinewood Derby race. How many of you thank God for little boxes of wood, huh, that you carve? But for Jesus. Then last year, Weaver, he said they did 450 car Pinewood Derby. And he has an even bigger vision for this year. 1,000 cars. He said, I want to reach out to Robertson now and bring these schools together. And he wants to have Convoy of Hope be involved and a cruise in with classic cars and on and on. And I'm walking with these ribs realizing who cares about the ribs. I'm thankful for a man that has caught the vision to do something for God. And there was purpose in Kirk. Praise God. I was here last June at headquarters in a general presbyter, is just a little committee meeting. And here I was in such close proximity, having no idea of where everything would happen within a year. But I was there and I came out at noon and been just a morning meeting, and Darwin Boston pulled up from CBC and we were in school together, and we headed off to McSalty's Pizza where we used to spend a lot of time many, many years ago when we had mullets and a mustache and big old Kip glasses. Man, I tell you, those were the days. And I was so glad that Cindy joined us. And as I sat there, I realized both of these people are passionate about what they're doing. And Darwin's just buzzing about CBC. And Cindy is buzzing about the Pregnancy Care Center as the executive director. And what a job she's doing. As I heard Cindy share, I thought, I've got to share this with you. She's a Central. This is a Central couple. And holding in her hands in this picture is baby Layton. And she has permission from the mother to share this picture because baby Layton probably would not be here if it weren't for a mother that walked into an abortion clinic and something didn't feel right. And she walked out and thankfully found Pregnancy Care Center. And now we have baby Layton. And how many can say praise God for life right there? Praise God. Here, the center started to intervene for women in crises 10 years ago. They're having their 10th anniversary. At that time, in year 2000, she said 2,400 women were single in Springfield and pregnant. And the secret that many people don't realize, and Carla and I, this resonates in my heart because we served for several years on a similar board to work with a crisis pregnancy center near our church there in Mesa. And I'm telling you, as I just heard Cindy that day share, you can hear that vision and passion. But see, many times we think it's only for those out there, but hear me. So many in the religious community find themselves with no place to go. And there's a shame, and there's a family being torn apart, and a marriage that's stressed, and a parental situation that's very stressed. And many times, sinners like this serve us, the body of Christ, more than you realize. Thankfully, last year, more than 20,000 kids heard the message of abstinence thanks to the Pregnancy Care Center. Teen pregnancies are now down 24% since they've been working in the schools. That awesome. The average client is 4 or 5 years old. So, right, 20 years of age is the average client, which for many of us, they think, oh, they just deal with teen pregnancies. Oh, no, if that's the median age, realize the ages that are coming through. As a matter of fact, Cindy said that this year or the last year, 100 women came through that were in their 30s with an unwanted pregnancy and looking for direction. Abortion is down more than 50% in Southwest Missouri, over 8 counties. Can you say praise God for that? Amen. Did you know that 10 years ago, well, let's go back 11 years ago. This is our 10th anniversary. 11 years ago, if a woman was looking for answers, the only place that she would be able to go is Planned Parenthood. How many of you are thankful that there is the Pregnancy Care Center now in Springfield, Missouri? Amen. Praise God. What's the key? It's purpose. It's a God-inspired passion that He places within us that takes us out of ourselves so that we will be a blessing to others and always just for the glory of God. But Cindy said it on the phone. She said, Jeff, the bottom line is all it takes is just a little serving. She said, if someone just wants to come answer the phone for 3 hours, you might save a life. Come and just sweep the floor, vacuum, do a little cleanup at the end of the day. She said, there are so many ways that people can serve just a little bit and make a difference, possibly save a life. Then I spoke with Bruce Snavely, the oil change ministry. And I know many of you know the story, but I didn't know what motivated this. And Bruce told me how his sister, younger than him, was brutally murdered by her husband, and how another sister was lost in a car accident. And he said, what motivated me to start this ministry is that I would look at women and I would ask myself, what would I do for that lady if that was my sister? And so he wanted to do oil changes. I'm not the most mechanical male, but I do my own oil changes. Now, you don't want me doing anything else to your car, but at least I can do an oil change. But how many know that's a real blessing to a woman, especially to a single mom? She doesn't need to be climbing in her car, and she doesn't need to go pay exuberant to have it done by somebody. She can come right here to Central, and do you realize that when they do, at the same time, her kids go into another room, and there's a children's ministry taking place, so they're learning about Jesus while they're getting a free oil change. I would say that's a God-inspired passion that's taking Bruce out of himself to be a blessing to others and all to the glory of God. That's what it's all about. Well, then Bruce says, well, I'm working on my master's degree, and in the class there are a couple women that are involved in the juvenile court system here in Springfield, and so we began to connect, and they said, well, hey, do you think some of these boys could get involved and do some of those oil changes and learn a little bit of trade that way, but learn what it is to serve? And now Bruce is working on a whole new vision to take boys ages 13 and 14 and 15 out of the juvenile court system, and that we begin to mentor them here at Central Assembly. Can you say praise God? That's a God-inspired passion. I spoke with Ethel Campbell. Oh, my goodness. Where are you at, Ethel? Wave your hand at me, Ethel. Is she here? There you are. I've got to meet you, lady, or make the connection here. She's something else. I called Ethel, and I just said, can you explain to me enabled? Can she explain it? Here it is, quote, because I can type really fast. It's a ministry to, for, and by people with disabilities, Pastor Jeff. And there are all types, physical, developmental, and psychiatric. Our goal is to enable these people and their families to find significance in serving God and others. Our first purpose is to equip, empower, and enable them right here at Central and throughout Springfield. Our second purpose is to equip, empower, and enable church ministry leaders to do the same thing. And then she said, quote, many with disabilities have great gifts that can be shared and used in ministry. And she explained that when they meet one time a month, how everyone that's involved in the worship team in one way or another is a disabled person, as we would call them, but they are enabled to still serve and worship God. Amen? And about 80 people involved in this ministry from all different churches, they're Catholics that come, she said, all denominations. And do you know, Pastor Jeff, that the census declares that 20% of America, that one out of every 5 families is somehow impacted by someone who has a disability, physically, mentally, in some way, that they are disabled. What a great ministry. Then there's Jan McKinnon. Many of you know Jan with Mothers with a Purpose. It's a CE class here. Jan's testimony is incredible. She said, Jeff, I was raised in church. I was baptized as a little one. But she said, I somehow missed the Sunday that they explained relationship. And so she said, I got into my adult life and years, and I was in drugs and all kinds of stuff. My life was ravaged in sin. And she said, then one day someone talked to me about relationship and that Jesus died not to be so far away from me, but to be, as our video said this morning, I feel when I pray that God is right there with me. She said, I learned relationship. And she said, the church came alongside of me. And as I came through the Teen Challenge program and then began to get involved in ministry out of Teen Challenge, and then she says, I'm here now. She said, I have a passion. I want mothers to know that when God is with you, it is not that hard to mother. Isn't that a beautiful passion that she has? And it's out of her own life, just like Bruce's. So often that's the case. Then I talked to Chris McCoy, God's Plan for Significance. And he said, I looked around on Wednesday nights and I kind of felt, and this is not to knock either direction, but he said, I just kind of felt like as a empty nester and as a boomer in my 50s and those in their 60s that I didn't know about the prayer service. I wasn't quite sure about new community. So he said, I really felt a passion that my age group come together. We are empty nested now. Our children are out of the house. How can we build significance in a greater degree into our lives? And he began this home group. And he said, we do a study together on significance. They're very relational. It's not about them. They're encouraging one another to bring friends that are in that age group. Not long ago, they took a Saturday morning or Saturday day, and it was quite a project, and they all landed at the house of a young widow here at Central who has a lot of health issues, had just had surgery, and he said, we mowed and planted and weeded, and he said, we just revolutionized her entire yard for her that day. That's people with a God-inspired passion. Julie Main, MOPS, mothers of preschoolers. Same with Julie. When I said, well, Julie, explain MOPS. I mean, I know about MOPS, but tell me about it. Immediately, she could say it very simply. No one should be mothering alone. And she went on to describe their group. It's 70% Central, 30% women outside of Central. Said there are many that are unchurched. We're very intentional. We're very relational. We are very careful about how we present ourselves and the church and the love of Jesus. But we want them to feel comfortable. We want them to come in and hear about Christ. But she said we want to do it in a relational manner. We want to help them mother. And she said, even at this point, we have a Mormon mother that's coming here. That excited me, being from Mesa, Arizona, where there's a temple built. How exciting that even a Mormon is coming here to our MOPS program. In January, they just started evening MOPS for you moms that are working during the day and to give you a place you can go and be with other moms at night. And in the fall, they're going to launch the MOPS group for moms with kids in elementary school. Then we have the Fusion MOMS for those of you that are parenting teenagers here. I could go on and on today. The tables are out in the lobby. And many are outreach, and many are CE groups, and many are home groups and life groups. It's incredible the opportunities you have to connect others and yourself with God and with others and with your purpose, your God-inspired passion that takes you out of yourself, that you can be a blessing to others and always for God's glory alone. As we close, look with me at Psalm 138, if you have your Bibles. Or you can look to the front of the bulletin, I guess. Make it easy. As we come to this prayer of David today, I see purpose, I see Ephesians 2:10, I see these examples that I've given you, and I see the tables in our lobby, and here's what the prayer says. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. And I want you to see just kind of the turning in this verse. David opens up saying, Lord, you will fulfill your purpose. Now, the word there in Hebrew has to do with completion. You will bring it to an end. I think the King James Version and a few others say, you will perfect. You will perfect what concerns me, God. Who I am, what my purpose is in life. David is making a prayer here, but he begins with a statement of faith. God, you will bring it to completion. Why I am here, what you made me to be, God, you will perfect it. And then he steps back and he uses a word in Hebrew, one of my favorite words, the word hased. He says, your love, your mercy, your loving kindness, your goodness, your grace, it endures forever, O Lord. He just steps back to pause to think of how good God is to him. And he begins to speak to the Lord after saying, the Lord will fulfill in me what his plan is. Then he says, O Lord, your mercy endures forever. And then comes the prayer. And the petition is this, do not abandon the works of your hands. God, keep working in and through me. I love the Message Bible sometimes, puts it so succinct and simple. Finish what you started in me, God. Your love is eternal. Don't quit on me now. Celebration Sunday, this is what it's all about. It's about you recognizing today that there is not only the purpose of God for your life, to save you and I, that we are saved out of our sin and come into a relationship with Jesus. But that when we do that, a byproduct of that is that God is working and forming in your life to give you the purpose for your life. I remember the first men's group I did in Mesa. It was 1993. And we took Man in the Mirror by Patrick Morley. And it was a great study and started with about 30 guys. And on that final night, there were about 10 or 12 that had remained all the way through that quarter together. It was a Monday night, and I turned to the guys. I said, let's just go around, and what'd you get out of this, guys? What happened in your life? And one of the men just shocked me, because I knew he had attended one of the large Baptist churches there in Phoenix for years, and it come out our way. But he said, as I went through this study, he said, I realized I don't know for sure that I was saved. But he said, by the end of these weeks, he said, I now know that I'm, and he had tears coming down his cheeks, I now know that I'm a Christian, that I'm saved. So, Scott, that's awesome. Boy, that made it all worth it right there. You know what Scott did? He believed verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2. He accepted he was saved by grace through faith. But guess what? Verse number 10, he became one of the most incredibly servant-oriented, blessed guys in our church. He gave, he worked with our boys, he worked with our children, he worked with our youth. He got so involved because he then discovered not just that he was saved by grace through faith, but he was also the workmanship of God, created to do good works, which God prepared in advance for him to do. And he lived his purpose. He found his purpose. If you're here this morning, hear me. You may have walked in the door. Maybe someone invited you. Maybe it's your first time. Or maybe you've sat here just like a Scott. You've been at church for so long. But you recognize today that you really are working more your own purpose than you are God's purpose. And really, when you sit back and evaluate, you think, you know, I'm really running on my own track more than if God has a plan and if he is crafting me to do something. And you recognize that today. Could I bring you all the way back then? First of all, to the cross, and to ask Jesus today to forgive you of your sins and to say, Lord, I'm running a whole different path than you have for me. You created me to do something that you in advance had for me to do. And God, I want to find that today. And if that's you, I want to invite you to pray with me in just a moment so that you could leave here, first of all, with your sins forgiven and a relationship with God. That's of utmost. But also find that God has a purpose beyond probably what you've been living, that he wants you to live that purpose in him. Matter of fact, would you bow your heads with me right now and just close your eyes, everyone? And please be respectful, because right next to you, just two people over, could be someone that right now, your heart, their heart is just responding right now to God, saying, I want to find God and I want to find his purpose today. And if that's you this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus to come into your heart right now. If that's you, would you just put up your hand and put it down? Say, Jeff, pray with me. I'm going to do it right where you're at. Just put up your hand right now and say, that's me. I want God to forgive me of my sins. I want to come into a relationship with him. Is there anyone here? You put up that hand right now. I want to know his purpose for my life. Anyone? Put up that hand. Anyone? I'll wait just a moment, but I give you that opportunity. Oh, don't leave here living your own purpose. Leave here living the purpose of God in your life. Anybody? I'll give you just a moment longer. Yes, I see that hand. Bless you. Is there anybody else? So worth it. So worth it to wait. If God's dealing with your heart, please respond. You're not responding to me or to a church. You're responding to God. This is God tugging at your heart right now. Is there anybody else? You put up that hand right now. Just put up that hand and say, oh God, I want you to come into my heart today. Anyone else? How many are here today that you say, Jeff, I do realize this. I could be living a little bit too much in my own purpose rather than God's purpose for my life. And God has spoken to you that today. Let me see your hand. Is there anyone like that? Yes, I see those hands. Many hands. Many hands today. Thank you, Lord. Prayer team, would you come and stand here across the front, if you will, today? Could we pray together this prayer? It's a simple prayer. It's based upon Romans chapter 10 and John 3:16, other verses that just tell us how to come to God and ask for forgiveness and cleansing. I'm going to invite you just to pray this with me out loud, everyone together. Can we pray? Everyone out loud, let's pray it. Dear God, I believe that you are God, that your Son is Jesus, that you sent him to this earth with an incredible purpose, that he would die for my sins. And I believe he did. And I know I've sinned. God, please forgive me. Cleanse my heart and my life. Give me a new beginning this day. I want to know you in a personal way, and I want to find my purpose for my life. And it's all in you. So please come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. I do believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father. God, as we close the service now, I pray, Lord, for those that may be running their track, their purpose, and I pray, Lord, that they would come back now to pray that you, Lord, will fulfill your purpose in our lives. Your mercy, your love endures forever, Lord. Do not abandon the works of your hands, for we are confident, Philippians 1:6, that you that begin a work, that you will bring it on to completion until that day. And Lord, I pray that over every one of us individually, and we pray it corporately this week as a body, that Lord, you will fulfill your purpose for Central Assembly. Oh Lord, your mercy endures for the 100 years we've existed. Lord, do not abandon the work of your hand at Central Assembly, we pray. And if that is your heart today, would you say a mighty amen this morning?